Welcome to the West Campus of Beulah Lions Church. My name is Daniel, and I'm one of the pastors here on staff. And I haven't been up here preaching in a while, and one of the reasons has been because we just had our third baby. So thank you. On August 1st, our baby was born Makarios Josiah M., 7 pounds and 6 ounces. And you're probably wondering, Makarios? Well, back when I was in seminary, I had an entire course on Matthew 5 to Matthew 7 on the Sermon on the Mount. And we spent weeks going through the Beatitudes, and every one of those Beatitudes started with blessed are the, blessed are the, blessed are that. And that word in Greek is Makarios. So I was like, well, if I have a son one day, I'd love to name him Makarios. And my wife agreed as well. So that's where we came up with the name. Hey, you know, if you've been here for the past month, and just as Darren was sharing too, you've probably heard a lot about the story. And we're talking about it a lot because we're so excited. We're so excited that as a congregation for the next 31 weeks, we'll be learning about this great and grand story of God. So I want to encourage you to pre-order your copy, to get in a group and to follow along, because it's going to be a transformational experience for us as a church. Let's pray. Father, as we continue our journey through this Bless series, I pray that you would begin prompting in our hearts who you are calling us to be a blessing to. We praise you that you have blessed us, so may we be a blessing. Father, we pray that you would open our hearts, our souls, our minds, our ears to hear the words that you have for us today, and that we would be centered on you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I want to share with you a story about a time when I was in Korea. Now, my wife and I lived there for a couple of years when I was pastoring there, and we were on the subway going to visit one of my uncles. And this was at the end of the subway line, so we were on it for about 45 minutes, close to an hour, and there were probably only about 15 people left on this big cart. Or car. So when we were there, almost at my uncle's place, all of a sudden I see this guy in military garb, dressed from head to toe, and he opens up the door with a megaphone and starts shouting, "You are all sinners. You're all gonna die. You need to know Jesus. And if you don't know Jesus, you're gonna die." And he starts going on and on and on, preaching with a megaphone to 15 people. Okay, it was really loud. Anyways, after he finishes, he doesn't even leave any time for dialogue or questions or conversation. He just says, "Okay, do you got it?" And then he goes, opens the door, and goes and proceeds to do the same thing to the next subway car. Now, doesn't that irk you? Perhaps that's why this St. Francis of Assisi quote has become so popular. Let's see if you know it. Preach the gospel at all times and, if necessary, use words. Doesn't it sound so good? In our Canadian culture, where we're so tolerant and accepting of one another's views, it just seems like the perfect phrase to fit us. But come on, I mean, when you think about that phrase and all the other popular statements that reinforce it, let's actually see how many we know together, okay? So your actions need to speak louder than your words. Great. Words are, okay, I probably didn't give you enough. Words are cheap. Okay, let's try another one. Well done is better than well said. Yeah, Benjamin Franklin. After all is said and done, a lot more will have been said than done. And my favorite, talk doesn't cook. Are you serious? Okay, I'll help you out again. Talk doesn't cook rice. Come on, that's like the best Chinese proverb out there. Oh, you gotta get with the times. All right, so preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. It sounds so good, doesn't it? But is it biblical? Growing up, I did the opposite of that quote. I preached the gospel at all times, and when necessary, I used actions. When I would be in East Hastings serving at a soup kitchen, We would make sure that every person who would come and get food, we would make sure that they heard worship music and had the gospel preached at them. We made sure that that happened before they left. When I was in university, I joined Campus Crusade for Christ. And, growing up, I knew we had to learn about sharing our faith, and I didn't really know how to do it. So when I joined, when I entered university in the summer before the semester started, I was kind of going through the university club website. And I was like, which Christian club should I join? And I know it's geeky. I know that's okay, but that's who I am, so I'm fine with that. But you know, I was going through and I chose, okay, Campus Crusade for Christ, because they're all about evangelism. And I joined. When semester started, first day of orientation, I ran. Okay, I didn't run, but I went straight to the Campus Crusade for Christ booth, and I was like, sign me up. How can I get involved? And I started. And I thought that joining this club, we would, you know, study the Bible and learn, okay, if someone says this about faith, I need to say this. And if someone says this, I thought we would be all about a Bible study. But in fact, that's not what happened. I was duped. I was tricked. And we actually had to go and practice sharing our faith. So a leader took me out. It was funny. We would go out and, you know, I was like this 18-year-old with this 30-something-year-old guy, the staff member. People were like, what's going on, right? And we were like going through the cafeteria looking for all the sad people who are sitting by themselves. Okay, so if you're a university student, do not sit by yourself, because this will probably happen to you. So we were looking at, and we would see these guys or girls sitting by themselves, and we'd come to them and we'd be like, hey, you know, if you were to die today, do you know where you'd go? Or sometimes, you know, we had a lot of different lines that we'd use. Other times we would say, hey, do you want to talk about spiritual things? Or, you know, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. And it was so awkward, so awkward. And I hated every moment of it. But we saw people accept Jesus into their hearts. We saw people begin to believe in this great Savior that we know. I'll never forget those experiences because they took me out of my comfort zone. And oftentimes it's when we're out of our comfort zones that God does his greatest work in us and through us. Isn't that so true? Through my experience with Campus Crusade for Christ, I learned how to share the gospel. I learned how to share the good news of Jesus. But the problem that I discovered was that I knew how to share my faith with complete strangers, but not with those who I loved the most. I wish at that time that I knew this thing, that I knew about bless. I wish that I'd heard this sermon series about bless, because if I did, I would have had a way or a method to be able to share this life-giving message of hope with those I cared about the most. If I knew about bless, I would know that daily I could begin my day with prayer. I could, when I woke up, I could say, God, who do you want me to be a blessing to? Who is it that you want me to share your love with? Who do you want me to be intentional with? I could begin my prayer, my days like that. I then could go about my day, and when I would be with my classmates or my coworkers or my friends or family members, I could listen to them and listen to what is happening in their life. I could then eat with them, spend time with them, share with them. After that, I could serve them. And then, wouldn't you think, that natural opportunity to share the story of God and what God is doing in my life. Wouldn't you think that natural opportunities like that would arise? I mean, what would happen if us as a church, if we as a church were to practice this bless concept on a daily basis? When I would go to Pastor Keith's office, and I would look at his computer. You know, obviously he's there. I'm not going. But you know, when he's at his desk, and I would see his computer. Oftentimes, I would see his screensaver, and it's kind of funny because, I mean, who uses screensavers anymore anyway, right? But anyways, I would see his screensaver, and it was one of those, you know, really old school ones where the text would just scroll across the screen, right? And remember back in 91, it was really cool when it'd go this way. And then the next time it came around, it would be on the top of the screen. and then it would go diagonally. Anyway, so there's a point to all this. You know, I love Pastor Keith. But when I saw a screensaver, it said this: if Beulah were to disappear tomorrow, would Edmonton notice? That's the cry of our senior pastor's heart, of the elders of our church, the staff of our church. If we as a church, if all of our campuses were to disappear tomorrow, would anybody notice? Bless is a catalyst to transform Edmonton. This idea of bless, this isn't the first time we're going to be talking about it, but later on in the year, we're going to hear about how we as a church are going to be blessing our neighbors, blessing our local schools, and blessing our community. We as a church, we're going to be practical and intentional about how we can make an impact in this city. Because isn't that what the church is supposed to do? Isn't that what it means when Jesus said, you are going to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world? So let's talk about this last S. When we look at this BLESS acronym, begin with prayer, listen, eat, serve. The last S is story. Remember earlier, there was that quote attributed to St. Francis of Assisi: preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. Have you ever considered the implications of that quote? I mean, what would happen if you lived your life for Christ, cultivating your relationship with him, but you never actually told anyone about it? Who would get the glory? Who would get the recognition? Wouldn't people just begin to think that you're just some super awesome person because everything seems to be going okay, and even when things aren't okay, you're still okay? And wouldn't people begin to give you the glory, thinking that you have things all together because you never talk about what Jesus is doing in your life? Or maybe people would think you're incredibly robust and tenacious because when your loved one passed away, you were able to pick yourself up, dust your shoulders off, and move on with life. If all you did was live your life for Christ but never shared that with anyone, who would the glory go to? I mean, is that quote, preach the gospel at all times and if necessary use words, is that even biblical? When we look at Romans 10 verses 14, we read this: but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. This passage doesn't imply if necessary use words. It implies when necessary, use words. Or how about in 1 Peter 3, verses 15? And if someone asks about your Christian hope, always be ready to show it. Is that what it says? And if someone asks about your Christian hope, always be ready to explain it. But do this in a gentle and respectful way. To preach the gospel at all times and if necessary use words is tantamount to going to a doctor and saying, hey, heal the sick and if necessary use medicine. Or to a relief organization, feed the hungry and if necessary use food. Or to a comedian, make people laugh and if necessary use jokes. The funny thing about this quote is that St. Francis didn't even believe it. Here's a quote from a biography on him. His words were neither hollow nor ridiculous, but they were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, penetrating the marrow of the heart so that listeners were turned to great amazement. St. Francis clearly spent a great deal of time using his words when he preached, sometimes preaching up to 5 villages in a day. Now, does that sound like someone who believes, if necessary, use words? By the way, that quote is actually supposed to be, preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. It's amazing the difference that one little word makes, doesn't it? When we look at this bless acrostic, we need to realize that we can't actually spell bless without the second S. Sharing your story of what God is doing in your life, sharing the great and grand story, is not optional. It's necessary to truly being a blessing to others. But sharing your story takes time. It can be messy too. For example, I'm reminded of Sandy, who's a part of our church family. Now, Sandy's mother was a part of our church for over 50 years, and when she passed away, before she passed away, actually for her entire life, her heart cry and prayer was that her children would come to know, love, and serve Jesus. And when she passed away, when Sandy's mother passed away, Sandy was invited to attend Grief Share at Beulah to help her cope with the loss of her mother. This then led her to attending Alpha, where she heard about the story of God in a clear and compelling way. Now, Sandy is a follower of Christ, but her story is still being written. As she journeys through her time in Alpha and now in a mid-sized community, her story is still being written. But this is what it looks like. We're not responsible for the results. Our responsibility in sharing this great and grand story of God is to share the message, is to sow seeds and to water them. But God is the one who will make them grow. And that's the beauty of this bless acrostic, because it focuses on the simple things that we can do. We can begin with prayer. We can listen to other stories. We can eat with them. We can serve them. And we can share this story of what God is doing in our life. Simple things, but we leave the results to God. Living out this bless acrostic is just like living out 1 Thessalonians 2:8. We loved you so much that we shared with you not only God's good news, but our own lives too. What if we recognize that bless, that living out bless is all about living with intentionality with others? It's about being aware of what God is doing in our lives. It's like the way that many of our mid-sized communities organized camping trips over the summer. They were like, hey, it's Edmonton, our summers are like 1 month long, and you know, and then we got to get our parkas back out, but you know, let's go camping. And instead of us just going camping by ourselves, let's do it as a mid-sized community. Let's say, why don't we invite our neighbors together, those far from God, and let's just go to Wabamun, and let's go camping, let's go here. And that's what a lot of our mid-sized communities did. Or how about the way our Spruce Grove, Stony Plain, mid-sized community, they're like, hey, how can we be a blessing into our community? Well, what if we plant a garden? So they planted a huge vegetable garden, and every time they've gathered as a mid-sized community, they've weeded and they've taken care of this garden. And this Friday, actually, and I'll go and join them, we're going to harvest the vegetables so that we can donate them and be a blessing to those who need it the most. Or how about our internationals and newcomers to Canada mid-sized community, where they were one university student invited another one on their arm to come to their MSc. And when that student who was far from God came, they heard about this life-transforming message of Jesus, of the gospel. And they said, there has to be more to life than what I'm doing. I need to learn more about this. Or how about the way our Tagalog MSC, they decided to have a Filipino street food fest. So they went early to Horlack, I believe it was Horlack Park, they roped off an entire area, more than 70 Filipinos came out, and they ate, right? And it was, have you ever been to a park and saw like all those Asians barbecuing, and it smelled so good, right? That's what they were doing. And they invited their friends, their coworkers, their family, everyone who was close to and far from God so that they could be a blessing to them. Or how about our White Mud Creek campus? In the summer when we had our open house, we asked the theater if they could pop over 150 bags of popcorn. So when our campus came in on the morning, it smelled like popcorn. It was so good. And we kind of sat in our seats, ate the popcorn, and listened to the message. But we not only gave popcorn to our congregation, but after the service ended, we set up a table in the middle of the hallway, and, you know, with the manager's permission, we then began handing out popcorn to everyone who came in. And I'm reminded of this one lady who had 5 kids around her. And after she bought her ticket, she went up to the concession counter. And you know how expensive, you know, theater popcorn is. But when we went to her and said, "Hey, would you like some free popcorn?" You should have seen her face. She began to tear up. Now, I don't know what her story was. But she said, who does this? What are you doing? Why are you giving me free popcorn? And we said, "We're a church that meets here in the morning. We just want to be a blessing to you." Now, I don't know what's happened after that, but it's okay. I'm not responsible for the results. We're responsible to sow seeds, to water them, and be a blessing to others. We loved you so much that we shared with you not only God's good news, but our own lives too. Now, my wife and I, we've been trying really hard to be a blessing to our neighbors. And as you know, it's difficult because we're only really out in the summer for a couple months out of the year, and other times for the rest of the year we kind of go home, shut the garage, we go into our house because it's too cold. But I've had the opportunity to practice, because I was like, well, you know, when I learned about this blessed concept, I was like, let's see if it works. So I began to practice it. I began saying, okay, God, who do you want me to be a blessing to in those that I live, work, and play with? So this one neighbor during the winter, you know, this is Edmonton code, right? Like if you move to Edmonton in the winter, you know that if someone gets stuck in the snow, you just have to get out of your car and you got to push them, right? Like, that's just the unspoken rule of being an Edmontonian. So I heard him in my back alleyway. I went out, and I was like, "Hey, do you need some help?" And he was just, like, spinning the tires. I was like, no, you don't do that. You got to kind of go like this and this and this. So then, you know, I was like, okay, but I didn't want to tell him to get out of the car so I could do it for him. So I just let him do it. And I said, okay, I'll push, and you go. So I made the mistake of going right behind one of his tires. And I was like, okay, ready? And I made sure he was going forward, okay? So I was at least that smart. Okay, and then I said, okay, ready? And he went, and I pushed, and all of a sudden, I like got covered head to toe in snow. And I was like, hey, how about you push, and I'll drive, and we got out, right? But I was able to serve him in that way. But I wanted to share the story of God with him too. So I was praying. I was like, God, please grant me an opportunity to share your story with him, to share what you are doing in my life with him. I didn't want to push it. I didn't want to force the conversation. So I was praying, and I was being attentive to what God may bring about situation-wise. So one day when I was walking home, I saw him just sitting by himself in his garage. And I went, I was like, hey, what's going on? Are you doing okay? And for the next hour and a half, while my wife was texting me and asking me, why aren't you coming home for dinner? I was literally like right beside the house. But for the next hour and a half, I heard him share what was going on in his life. I wanted to fix it, but I just listened. And then he asked, how do you do it? And that was my opportunity to share what God does in my life, what he's doing in my life. Story's still being written. I'm still building the relationship with him, but that's okay. Now, when we look at this BLESS acronym, I wanted to give you a few tips on how to share your story. So when you came in, you would have received one of these pocket guides. And this pocket guide is something that the team and I have been developing over these last couple months. And if you could turn to page 7, the intent with this pocket guide is that you would maybe put it in your pocket or in your wallet or in your Bible or in your car or anywhere that you could be reminded of it on an ongoing basis. But if you flip to page 7, you'll see on the bottom 3 tips of how you can share your story. The first one is to start by sharing how God has blessed you and made a difference in your life. I'm reminded of David, who here at Beulah, he attended Alpha. When he attended Alpha, he was able to find answers to the questions he had about life, faith, and God. Before God, his priorities in order were sex, money, then his marriage. But after attending Alpha and being transformed through the life-giving message of God's story, his priorities are now God and then his marriage and then everything else afterwards. Before meeting God, he had given up on his marriage and was living separate. But now after meeting God, God's doing a transforming work in their lives. Start by sharing how God has blessed you and made a difference in your life. The second tip is to share your story in such a way that demonstrates that God is also at work in their life. How can you help them see that everything they have is a gift from God? Now, when I was getting my hair cut a few months ago, I was at the salon, and the lady, as she was cutting my hair, she began telling me how she loves to travel and has never been to Thailand. And I said, hey, you know, I've actually been to Thailand, and I didn't want to tell her that I brought a team of youth. This is when I was pastoring in Korea, that I brought a team of youth there, and it was a missions trip. I didn't want to scare her off, right? So I said, hey, I was in Thailand a few years ago, and we were working at an orphanage, and we were working at an orphanage. And when we were there, I said, hey, I remember this story of that the orphanage leaders were telling me that they had run out of food, that they had no more money, and that all they had was enough to make one last supper. So they told all the kids, before they ate, they said, hey kids, we have no more money. We have no more food. I don't know how we're gonna feed all 100 of you, including ourselves, but all we can do is pray. So the kids, the leaders, they prayed. That night they went to bed. The next morning, the leader gets a phone call, and it's from a local farmer. And the farmer says, hey, I don't know who you are. I don't even know about Christianity or anything like that, but I had a dream yesterday that I was supposed to bring you broccoli. I'm a broccoli farmer, and this broccoli is not broccoli for Thailand. This is broccoli that is being exported. This is like the best grade of broccoli. Right, so I had this dream, and I'm at the front of your orphanage, and you got to bring a truck out and take this because just, you know, do it before I change my mind. So the orphanage leaders grab their truck, and if you've ever been to Asia or if you haven't, maybe you've seen these pictures of these trucks where it's this big flatbed and everyone stands on the back, right? And there's like 50 people on the back of these trucks. Okay, so they brought one of those trucks out, and there's so much broccoli that they had to go back and forth three times, right? And now I know you're probably thinking, oh, who cares, right? Broccoli, I don't even like broccoli. But believe it, if you have no food, broccoli is like steak. Okay, I'm sorry for all you vegetarians, but you probably just cringed, right? But these ways, share your story in a way that demonstrates that God is at work in your life and can also be at work in their life. I didn't then say, now do you want to believe in Jesus? But I left it at that. And I said, hey, you know, isn't it amazing how God works? And I left it open for the next conversations that could happen. The next point is, don't feel like you have to tell your life story all at once. Think bite-sized stories. Think bite-sized stories. Another tip is to follow this pattern. I was, and this is you sharing your story. I was like this, then God, blah, 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 and now, da, 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 da. So I was, then God, and now. When you share your story, that's God's story being shared as well. Now in your sermon notes, you'll see on the back page that there's this thing called the spiritual thresholds. Now this is something that I wanted to introduce to you. We talk a lot more about it in our Essential Story workshop. But these five thresholds talk about this journey that individuals need to move through as they move from being a non-follower of Jesus to being a follower of Christ. The first threshold is from distrust to trust. What does it look like for a person far from God to overcome their skepticism of Christians, their skepticism of you, their lack of trust in the church and in you? That's the first threshold that needs to be crossed. And if we make an intentional point to live out bless, this will allow all of those people who are far from God in our lives, this will help them cross that first threshold. The second threshold is from complacent to curious. So are you spending enough time with others who are far from God that they can catch a glimpse into your life? Now, I'm not saying hi to your neighbors or talking for a minute each day with your coworkers. I'm saying, are you spending enough time? Are you eating with them so they can see your life and what God is doing in your life? That's how.